Good morning.
Good morning.
If you're visiting for the first time, we're glad that you've come to worship with us this morning. Welcome to Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. With us today, we have people visiting, so let us acknowledge them. From New York, we have Heather. Will you please, so we can acknowledge you as well? Casey. Wesleyan. And from Boston Church is Neil Lambert. Here she is. Amen. Welcome. We're glad that you're visiting, and we love you guys. And I hope that you can reach out to them after the fellowship and encourage them. Well, this morning we are doing something a bit different, so I'm going to go right into it. We're going to share with us as a congregation the vision of 2018. I pray that we can tune into that because it is important that you know where the church is trying to go, and you can find your walk with God and connect to that and find your source with that and participate so that God can walk with you. Amen? Vision 2018 is based on John 15, 12 to 13. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. It is vital as a congregation that we really connect in our relationships, because you cannot move anything if we're not talking to each other. Neither can we glorify God and show the world how it is like to be in the kingdom of God if we are not deeply first connected with God and then with one another. That is when we can do anything for God first and for one another. So to that end, it's important that you ask yourself, how are you connected to your family groups? How is that going? And how are you connected to the one another relationships? If we do that well, it's easier to win the world to Jesus Christ. You need friendships, and they need to be deep. Not shallow friendships, not high-by, or we go to the same church. Really deep friendships. It can be threatening, but take time to know the other person. Take time to get to sit down with them and to understand where they come from and why they think the way they think, and eventually we'll have deep relationships that glorify God as we walk together in the church. Amen? So that will be our theme 2018. There will be many lessons coming about that and walking around in that direction. However, is this working? 2017, here's a quick review before I have other brothers come and share. In 2017, we've been staying at Acts 2, 42 to 47. This church had a culture of care, help, safe, authentic, and growth. We can build that from a family group point of view. That's where all that happens. If the family group is not doing these five qualities, then we're not functioning. Does that make sense? So the family group is where we have to take traction of showing care, showing help, giving safety to one another, and people are being authentic, and then growth happens. That is what we've got. That's what we endeavored in 2017. We want to continue with that, as well as family groups were set in 2017. We will continue with that, and we're happy to fine tune it to a point where you find that your needs are being met. The one another relationships were set in 2017. Please, let's keep fighting for that. That you need a place where you can talk through things, have a one another relationships blossom, and not be afraid and hold everything inside and struggle even though you come to church. Finally, we didn't do a good job serving our community in 2017. We're tweaking that around. It will come through the family group leadership. And Quinton will have many ideas that he'll share with us over the year. We'll talk through this. And the family group leaders will come up with different things so that we all become, in other words, anyone can participate in serving people, but we need to work through the family group leadership That way everyone can participate in making it happen. Amen? I'm going to turn this over to Mike.
Amen. Are we excited about 2018? I am here to talk about campus ministry. Is GGC in the house? Oh, no. That was kind of weak. Is the campus ministry in the house? Yeah. All right. Amen. The campus ministry, we are excited about what God has done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do in 2018. Amen. I just want to acknowledge Tony and Jolisha for their love, their labor of love with that ministry and the way that they have poured their hearts into all the campus ministry. Vision for campus ministry. Scripture reference, Matthew 28:19. We all know this. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit. And a couple of things that we want to focus on in 2018 in the campus ministry. One of them is having an impactful and godly presence on campus. And the diversity of our campus ministry, the diversity of people that are on that particular campus at GGC is incredible. And Chloe and I last year had an opportunity to go out to go to one of the Bible talks, and it was just incredible. The love and the unity of the campus ministry and the way that they have built some solid relationships on that campus. And brothers and sisters, there are 3,500 kids on that campus. So God is ready to do incredible things through our campus, brothers and sisters, in 2018. And that starts with developing incredible one another relationships. And from what we've seen in 2017, they are well on their way. They love each other. They inspire each other. They help one another. And I know that God is going to use that to spread throughout that campus. The last thing on that is build relationships with other ministries through serving. The teen ministry, the married ministry, the singles ministry. You know, marriages in this congregation, reach out to the campus kids. They have a lot to offer. We've had an opportunity to spend some time with some of them, and it's just incredible the things that they can teach you if you just take the time to get to know them. And they're in need of guidance. They're in need of some support. So let's be a family. Let's wrap our arms around the campus ministry and love up on them, meet the needs where they are, and really just love up on them. And the last thing I want to share before I pass this along is that there's some exciting things that we're going to do through the glory of God in 2018 in the campus ministry. March 8, 2018, we're going to send a group of disciples to Gwinnett Tech. Currently, we do not have a Bible talk there. We solicit your prayers, your support, because these kids are excited about what God can do at Gwinnett Tech. So please be prepared to serve, to give, and whatever capacity that's needed to help with that ministry. Amen? Amen. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. Good morning. So I have the distinct honor to talk about our vision and our plan for 2018 for our singles ministry. So, amen. I am excited. And like Mike just shared, even with the campus ministry, guys, please be praying that God opens those doors over at Gwinnett Tech, because I think God has some amazing plans for our campus ministry as well as our singles ministry in 2018. Amen. So I wanted to start off with our vision for our singles ministry. We've thought, we've prayed, we wrestle with God, because there's a lot of things that go into a singles ministry. So first, we just want to let you know there's 67 singles in the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. And in those 67 singles, keep in mind there's 5 different elements of the singles ministry. So you have the divorced, you may have some widows, you may have the mature, you may have those who are just upcoming from campus, and the professionals. So one of our dreams, one of our goals for the 2018 singles ministry was coming out of 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." And the main thing we wanted to focus on was of first importance, because out of those 5 different groups, although we make one, each group can have a different first importance, right? If I am, you know, if I'm a upcoming, you know, campus single now, if I just graduated from campus, maybe my first importance is to find a great job. If I'm a professional, if I'm in my, you know, 25 to 35, maybe my first importance is to find a significant other, right? So each one can have a different first importance. So our goal this year is to get our entire camp, our entire singles ministry focused on Christ, right? We feel like if everybody's first importance is to focus on Christ and that he died for us, so the reason why we are single at this point in our life is to glorify him, there's certain things that will happen. The first thing we want to focus on is our quality time with God. And not quantity, but the quality time that we spend with God, really digging into God's scriptures to allow it to change our hearts, to change our minds, to change our attitudes, to be better single men and women for him. And so I think the more quality time we spend with God, the more it would lead to us developing our one another relationships, because God asked us to do that. So as we spend time with God, making him the most important thing in our life, we will learn to develop these one another relationships. And as we're doing that, I'm encouraged because we have Bible talks now. We have one another relationships now. So God is already starting to do some amazing things even before we could set foot into 2018. So I'm encouraged by that. And then the last thing we want to focus on is serving. Like Mike talked about earlier, we want to not just focus on serving in the singles, but serving in the church. How can we use our single ability to help this church glorify God more? We want to help serve the marrieds. We want to help serve the campus. We want to help serve the teens and the children's ministry. We want to help serve in the ushers. We want to help serve the AV team. And so be praying for these things. Be praying that God would afford the availability of our time and our heart to go and give in these areas that I'm talking about now. And so that God's church is glorified and that we continue to do some amazing things in the singles ministry this year. Amen. Thank you, guys.
I was so eager to come out and talk about this. I was early. All right, let's see. Is that? That was backwards. That's forwards. Okay, youth and family, ACACG, Youth and Family Ministry. This is, you've heard the term before. You've also heard from time to time, even today, we come out with the teen ministry or the middle school ministry or the children's ministry. We're transitioning to youth and family ministry. And this is not a minor tweak of what we did in the past. This is a reinvention of how do we reach our children. And it's really going back to the biblical pattern of how to reach our children. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But if you want to understand a little bit of the motivation behind why we're making this transition, I'd like to recommend a book to you. It's called Family-Based Youth Ministry by Mark DeVries, D-E-V-R-I-E-S. You can pick that up on Amazon. It's a great book, but what it does, it tells sort of the problem with how pretty much churches of all types everywhere have done youth ministry up until, you know, recent times, and about some of the problems with that, the shortcomings of that. And then it lays out some of the strategies for doing what we're trying to do, really. It's a great introduction if you want to understand what we're trying to do and why we're trying to do it. But youth and family ministry. Our mission in 2018, as John and Minhwa Yang are leading this ministry and doing an awesome job and laying out vision like they've done this all their lives. They're great at this, you know. The Youth and Family Ministry here at ACOCG is dedicated to promote, inspire, educate, and transform our families, to reflect the nature and characteristics of Jesus. Our heart is to help our families create a safe and Christ-centered environment where our children can thrive and fall in love with Jesus. So as you see, the emphasis here is reaching the children through the family, helping the family to create that safe, Christ-centered environment where the children will fall in love with Jesus. So we're putting some practical things into place that are going to help us to accomplish that. It's going to require everybody to be all in on the youth and family ministry. If you may think, if you think you're into youth and family ministry, raise your hand. You think that touches you? And if you don't have your hand up, you can raise it now. It affects all of us, okay? We're all in it. Whether you have children or not, because it's basically involving all the generations together to raise the children of the church. Okay. If you look at the just studies that have been done of how our children influenced, the parents have 2 to 3 times more influence than the church. And really than anybody else. The mother and father have more influence than all the other things pretty much put together. And so the idea here is if you're not reaching them through the parents, then you're not, you're throwing away the biggest asset you've got to reach your children. And so that's why we need all the parents to be 100% in, to participate, to show up, to bring the kids, but to be there with the kids. A lot of the activities are going to be parents and kids together. So I wanted to encourage you to be all in on that. And this is the biblical model. This is the way, God told in Deuteronomy 6, we're all familiar with the passage, first love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then teach it to your children. And it's not just the mothers or the fathers, it's both. For over and over in the scriptures, it talks about fathers training their children. But then we also hear about Timothy's mother and grandmother passing their faith on. So the mothers can do that too. But we do it as a community, and we're all going to be in this together with all the generations working together with the children. So let me ask you one more book recommendation. If you look around you, you see that not everybody in here is an adult. We brought our children's ministry children into the auditorium for worship, which is our custom. And there's a reason for that. And I would recommend to you a book called Parenting in the Pew. Parenting in the Pew by Robbie Castleman, also available on Amazon, which will help you with, number one, the mindset of why you would want to do that, and number two, how to make it constructive and productive as the family worships together, as church becomes a family affair. It's all a part of this youth and family ministry. We're doing it together. So with that, I will pass it on to Mr. Collier.
Okay, let's talk baseball. Genesis 1, verse 1 says, in the big inning, God created the earth while watching a baseball game. No, okay. Why do we have these up here? We're continuing to talk about our youth and family ministry, and these are minor league baseball teams. And we have one right here in Gwinnett. Used to be called the G-Braves, but they just changed their name, which I mispronounced yesterday. You can ask your family group leader about that, but it's the Gwinnett Stripers. Amen. You know, when you think about minor league, a healthy baseball team requires a good farm system, a good minor league team to bring the talent along. You know, if you have a bad farm system, you'll have a bad baseball team at the major league level in, you know, a few years down the road. And the same is true for our church. We want our youth to come up and learn to love God and become disciples because they are the church of the future. And church will die if we don't pass our faith on to the next generation. In Psalm 78, I won't read it, but verse 4 through 6 talks about passing on our faith, passing on the knowledge of God, the wonders of God, the glory of God, passing that on to the next generation, from generation to generation. And that's what God's people were called to do in Psalm 78, to pass on their faith to the next generation. You know, we're called, as someone read the scripture a few minutes ago, to share our faith with the world today, with people around us, you know, horizontally, but we're also called to share our faith vertically, to pass it on to the next generation. Amen. Acts 2:38, many of us know, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins will be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How many people have done that in here? Lots of people. Amen. What's the next verse? And this promise is to you and your children, and all who are far off, all whom the Lord our God will call. So that promise that we've claimed from Acts 2:38, we want to pass on to our children. Amen? Amen. Okay, so we're talking about the stages of our children's lives here and the sort of the plan and focus that we want parents to have at each stage of life. You know, 0 to 4th grade, are focusing on building family. You know, spending time with your kids, spending time with them at meals, praying with them before they go to bed, having family devotionals, you know, spending time with your kids to teach them about God. When my son Art was very little, I can remember taking him out on walks in the woods and just talking about God, starting, you know, when he was very young. And that's what we want to do. We want to start very young, talking to our children about God. And learning about God, having good relationships in the family. You can't wait till they're a teenager to build a good relationship. You have to start when they're young. I had an uncle tell me that once. You have to start when they're little. You know, you have to start when they're young to teach them the things you want to teach them. And then 5th and 6th grade, start working on friends. We do that earlier too, but really focusing on building good friendships. And John Yang will come out and talk about that more in a few minutes, but working on spiritual friends, being careful as to who their friends are, you know, being intentional as parents into influencing who our kids' best friends are, and not just letting it be anybody or go to anyone's house. You want to be careful. You want to be aware. You want to be focused spiritually and godly on their friendships. And then as they get into 7th and 8th grade, we're working on developing their faith, helping them develop their own faith, learning to read the Bible and pray on their own, really growing and learning in their faith. And then as they become teenagers and they're in high school, we're helping them decide themselves, do they want to make Jesus Lord? Do they want to follow Jesus? Do they want to do that? And then helping them transition into adulthood, to go on into campus ministry or be part of or of going off to college life, or maybe they go ahead and start work and go directly into single life, but just helping them as they get that age to transition to adulthood. And as parents, there's not a fifth one up there, but there is a fifth level. You become a parent of an adult child. And we want our children to become disciples as teenagers, but that doesn't always happen. Sometimes they go on into adulthood and they haven't made that decision, but that doesn't mean hope ends. We continue to pray for them. We continue to have influence over their life. We continue to help them as they make the adult choices to what their job's going to be, where they're going to live, getting married, having children. We continue as parents, even as when they become adults, we're still involved in their lives. We still have relationships. And they might sometimes live far away, but we can still pray for them. We can still hope that the seeds we've planted will come to fruition and they will become disciples one day. Amen? Amen. Okay. I want everyone in the room who is in high school or younger to stand up. I know. So this is what we're talking about. Okay, y'all can sit down. So this is what we're talking about. We're talking about helping our young people have faith in God, helping our young people make good choices in their lives. And as the African proverb says, it takes a village to do that. And as Alan talked about, the primary responsibility in the Bible is the parents. The parents have to raise their children. The parents have to instill faith in them. The parents have to instill character in them. That's for the primary responsibility as the parents. But the rest of us all have a role too. We help each other. You may be an empty nester, but you can help parents raise their children. We all have it. Many of us volunteer in our children's ministry, and we play a role. Now, that's just a tiny bit of influence over the children, but you might see things, and you can talk to the parents and say, this is what I see. We had that input when our children were being raised. We got input from children's ministry teachers. That's valuable. So we all play a role. We can talk to children. And they're not aliens, right? You can talk to children. You can talk to teenagers. It's okay. Talk to them. They're human beings, too. They will talk to you. Well, you might have to encourage them to talk to you, but they will talk to you. So don't be afraid to do that. We want to all work together to help raise our children. Amen? Amen.
Good morning. I'm really excited for 2018. And I know that God's going to do even greater things than what we put up here. And it's going to take all of us. It's going to take effort. It's going to take blood, sweat, and tears. It's going to take prayers. And we need your prayers. So please pray for all of us. Pray for our family. As we talk about... as we talk about our village, I want us to think about, you know, we live in America. Our houses are not like this. And we have bricks, we have siding, we have a lot of things that these people don't have. But, you know, I think the biggest thing to building a village is sometimes we all live behind closed doors. And we got to be able to take down our doors. So I'm encouraging us for this year to take the hinges off your door, take your door, throw that door away, so you have an open door policy. Where I can come into your house and see how you live, eat with you. Where you can come and see my house and eat with me and be with me and see my kids and how I interact with my wife and my kids. We need our village to have no doors. And I think sometimes we're afraid of what people might see and we don't get the help that we need. So we got to have our doors open so that people can come and help us. I said before, you know, the church is here to really strain out our dysfunctions and our shortcomings. But we have to let it. We have to let the church help with our dysfunction and our shortcomings, or we're just going to keep on repeating that and keep passing that down to our kids. And so I encourage us, as we build this village, let's have an open door policy. So with that, we want to talk about mentorship. The key here is sustainability. You know how sometimes we may start something and it's really exciting, and about 6 months later, it kind of fades away. That's not what we want. We want something that will last for a long time. Your kids and their kids and their kids to come. Sustainability is the key. So we want everyone to be involved in mentoring our children. and our kids and your kids. To be able to be involved, to participate, everyone is involved in participating. We have dialogues that are necessary for progress and growth. We have to have dialogues with our kids, with each other, with our parents for growth. You know, we want to incorporate the teens into church activity and serving capacity. It's something to just sit at church, and it's another thing to be actively involved in serving the church, to take ownership of what they've been given with, to help and to contribute to our church. They do amazing things, and I think we cut ourselves short if we don't allow them to serve and to be part of this church, to take ownership of our church here. We will have things for our teens and our middle schoolers to be part of, to be active in our church here and around the community. We have to stay relevant in our community. What we wanted to do is every family to have a model, a circle of friend model here. And what you see here, we're looking at a teen here. You have mom and dad. And then you have their peer. Mom and dad is very crucial to influence their teens. But they have a peer that they can walk with, that they've grown up with, that it's their friend. And then we have a college student in this circle. Somebody that can come over and have dinner with you and take your teens out to have lunch to kind of build that relationship, because when they graduate from high school, they're going to go into college. And so they need that college student that can be there for them, to walk with them and to help and to guide them spiritually and just navigating college life. And then we have middle schoolers. They might have a middle school friend that they're reaching out to. And then finally we have an adult friend. You know, an adult friend. You know, statistically says if you have, the more adult friends you have, the more likely that you will stay faithful. And this is a very scary stat, that 70% of teens who go off to college, they walk away from church. 70%. That's 7 out of 10. That's a scary stat. But the more adult relationship that they have, the likelihood that they will remain in the church and be faithful. So we need to build our circle of friends. This is a circle of friends for our middle schoolers, mom and dad and peer. We have a young single to be with them, to help them, to navigate with them. And then we have a teens that they can talk to and relate to. And then we have our prime timers that they can take them out. Maybe go get a Coke or go get some cheese or whatever they want to do. Prime timers. Prime timers, we need you. We need you. So everybody is involved. Everyone is involved. That's the key. That's the key. And we've been talking about our youth and families having everybody involved, and no one is left behind. It's crucial that we build these circle of friends. And the truth is, it's never too late. It's never too late. You think sometimes, well, my kids are just too old. I can't do that anymore. No, it's never too late. You can start. You can start and build their circle of friends, and they will stay faithful for the rest of their lives. Our goal is to sustain our youth and family for many years to come, because the truth is they will become our leaders one day. They will lead us one day. And if we don't do it right, who will lead us in the years to come? So let's focus on our youth and family this year. Let's focus in on building the circle of friends here. Thank you.